This is Leo Babiu for KTWH. We've just entered November. Wow, with a bang, we have beautiful weather, warm weather. Some people might be grousing if they think that needs to chill out a little bit before deer season, but there might be other opinions on that. And I've got Michaela Rice, who's the naturalist up at Gooseberry Falls State Park, visiting our, he is in today. What's the word from the balmy shores of Lake Superior today, Michaela, nature-wise and otherwise?
Activity, eating, 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 being in the sun. That's what the critters are doing. That's what I want to do. I actually got a little sunburnt this weekend, and I was pretty happy about that. So,
well, that's phenomenal that we shifted gears from the S word for you just a week or two ago.
It's just, you never know what you're going to get. You said something about mood swings or...
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of the North Shore on a weekly basis. So it's all kind of a surprise.
It is. And if people remember, this is a roller coaster and we've seemed to be sliding down this beautiful downhill run of warmth. We're going to be slogging up a hill of some chill because we have to get the winter, right?
Eventually.
Well, and you and I were speaking pre-interview about the fact that some of the creatures that people are concerned about, you know, that go take a nap for the winter, the bears, are almost for sure still out. And what's the signal to them that they really have to make hay and get ready for winter, Michaela?
I'm really sure it's the temperature that is going to definitely decrease. Food availability is definitely, you know, getting less and less. But, you know, I saw a leopard frog the other day. There's like amphibians and probably still insects around.
Yes.
The bears can take advantage of all those still.
Right.
You know, critters that are, they're just, they came out. The chipmunks are out. So there is still food available, and they're just, the signal for them is the cold temperatures. They got to slow down their metabolism. And then, like we were talking about, some seasonal cues like rut are really off of photo period, so the time during the day.
So remind us about rut and mm-hmm. when that has to happen.
There is a little bit of variation, you know, of deer across the U.S. and stuff when they go into this breeding period. But within Minnesota, it happens the same, you know, the same time every year. Don't quote me on dates. You kind of count back from when the fawns are being born in the spring, you know, a certain, it's almost 9 months gestation. So the males right now are finishing rubbing their antlers. So that's in what we'd consider the pre-rut stage.
Also known as destroying my valuable tree bark.
Sure, yeah. They're really after it. And then they keep kind of getting after it because they want to spread their scent around.
Oh.
So it's a two-fold
yeah.
thing. My mom saw a buck rubbing its antlers on like an abandoned picnic table. And the whole other end, you know, like a teeter-totter, was like he was lifting up this huge picnic bench. He was really itching the top of his antlers.
Would have liked the video of that.
I know, yeah. same.
Wow.
And then I saw a video of two moose that were in rut as well. So cervids, you know, we talk about animals in the deer family, moose being another one that mate in the fall during rut. And they were so enticed with one another. One of them just accidentally kind of hopped up in the back of someone's pickup truck. That's how big they were, and just wrestling in this person's driveway. It's crazy. These
wow.
Yeah. So yeah, they're focused obviously on one thing.
So we don't see nearly as frequently a moose, but the moose are in pretty similar timing schedule. Is their gestation that much different than the deer?
That's a good question. I know it is similar. They also have calves at a similar time. I believe maybe they even drop a little.
I'm
going to come back to it.
We can revise this at the next.
I don't want to make a mistake,
yeah. Oh.
But they're very similar.
Yeah.
Moose don't always have twins. You know, white-tailed deer typically do have twins. So maybe the gestation is the same, but you know, there's some differences, but generally, yeah, moose are going into rut around this time as well. So they're extra aggressive. They're kind of moving. They're using the landscape different. They're putting on a lot of miles, checking out other males and making sure that they know who every female in the area is.
Yep.
They have what, you know, is called like a harem mating system. So one male moose.
it's the one man rule.
Yep. Well, yes, in an area. And then he has access to all the females in the area. And then he's on patrol for a few days. and they don't eat, they don't sleep, they just pace and turn circles around these ladies, and that's their experience in the fall.
Wow. Well, this Saturday, and we're actually going to repeat this interview on Saturday, when it will be, if I'm not mistaken, Minnesota deer firearm season, yep. Reminds me of the question of what are the family units of deer? What is their cycle? Are the yearlings traveling with their mothers from that they were born to?
Yeah.
And if so, mm-hmm. How does that pan out through hunting season, where the mom might be taken?
It's a great question. So during this time, the male fawns, or we call them button bucks or yearlings, they're typically the first ones to leave.
Okay.
So the females can stick around for up to a year and a half or 2 years with mom. So sometimes those will be your familial units that you'll see in the winter, like three, be likely two females and a mom. They are still milking at this time, but it's more of like a social interaction. So if you do hunt a doe, she may still be lactating, but her yearlings are not depending on that for nutrition. It's more of that social treat kind of
experience for them. It's discretionary, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Not required. Yet,
of course, depending upon how the winter onset is, it could be helpful if we're having a really hard fast. I don't know what you call a fast onset when you have deep snow by mid-November.
Yeah, that type of blizzard situation would be very hard for them right away.
Yeah.
So then the males will they can group up into bachelor herds as well, and you'll see that, into the spring. It also, locally, deer will migrate, and so depending on where you live in Minnesota, I know down when I lived in Mankato, they would go to the river valley, so they did have quite a big local migration. So I'll have to learn about the patterns on the North Shore, but I don't think they'd have to go very far. We have a lot of cover up here. And that's what deer are primarily seeking in the winter, because it's so windy and it's so cold. They need to hunker down in the trees.
Yeah, and we have a habitat that might be better at one end of the winter than mm-hmm. the other, because there's that transition up the hill from the lake and back down to the lake.
And into the wolf territory, although,
And frankly, into the mm-hmm. protection near more urban spaces where they might feel safer.
So there's all sorts of things to consider as a deer in the winter of Minnesota.
Wow. We're running on a short week opportunity. We have abundance of interviews this week, Michaela. So I know that you had grouse on your mind as well when you came in today.
Yeah.
I was wondering what you could tell us about
the
fall grouse.
They're really active right now. Males are fighting over their territory, so they're very active. They're still eating a lot of the berries that are available. They're fresh. So I've just seen a lot of activity, learning about their feet. I got to see some feet up close. I went grouse hunting this weekend, and they have these frilly toes.
This is news to me.
You have to look it up. They look like their toes. They're chicken feet. Beautiful, nice chicken, clean chicken feet. Grouse are very clean birds. They have, these frills. It's like a centipede on their feet. they have one centipede per toe, so they have three toes in the front, and they're just fascinating. But some literature says that it can help them stay atop snow, but other birds can also do that. And we think it's also used to grip when they climb the little shrubs for all the berries. And I was watching them at Itasca State Park last week, and they're just so nimble, but they're awkwardly shaped birds
they
to be
tippy.
Lumbering in these really droopy shrubs, and they were just doing great little ballet dancers in there, and it's their frillies that keep the friction between the branches.
Unless these frillies have musculature, it's hard for me to imagine them providing a whole lot of flotation or grip or anything.
No, they're like little grippy socks.
They
frillies
are.
It's like the grippies on your hospital socks.
So there's some evolutionary direction here. It wasn't just that they wound up with frills and they just happened to be helpful.
No, I think this is evident of a purpose that they're serving anatomically for the little feets of our little grouse.
Now, grouse populations are wildly fluctuating over mm-hmm, the decades.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where we stand right now in northern Minnesota?
Everyone's saying they're very high.
Okay.
I don't know my density counts, but everything that I've heard, the grouse are doing very, very well this year, and they were up last year as well.
Now, people who hunt have been you know, declining the total numbers. You know, mm-hmm. if that applies to both people doing hunting of the larger mammals and bird hunters, or is it one tracking more steadily?
I think we could say within bird hunting, habitat loss is really driving a lot of the bird loss. Deer numbers across the state, like we're at like record high numbers of deer in Minnesota.
But like, it doesn't imply a record high number of deer hunters.
That is correct. Yeah. Our deer hunters are actually going, are down, and they're, you know, they've been on a decline for a while. So
yeah, but I was curious if that decline in bird habitat had led to more people losing interest because it was harder and harder to be successful.
I haven't heard that, more as it's like aging out and people don't have the opportunities or their farmsteads to go to do that. But I could see, as a hunter getting into the sport and you're not having a lot of success, it's really hard to stay motivated to stay in. So I'm sure it affects retention more than it does, you know,
new people coming
in. Yeah. And if you only live where there's birds available, it's a barrier to, you know, to get into.
Indeed. Do you have any news from or recollections of your events in October from Gooseberry Falls State Park, the Art and Nature Project Night?
I had a lot of fun at the art event. Lots of kids came, which was great. They were really creative. I also have crafts available for adults that you know, like, can do as well. But the kids were so energetic. And my favorite one, an individual took a bunch of turkey feathers and made like a crown, and it was really cool. So I'm going to be trying to put some of those pictures up online eventually, so people can get inspired. But I had a blast.
Wonderful. We'd like to link people. Yeah, if you do get that online, let us know.
And now, folks, I have a bunch of grouse feathers that I collected to do some more artwork as well. So I will get that info out there.
So there will be another session sometime.
Yes, every month, every third Friday.
Oh, excellent. Third Friday at what time? And will it be at the visitor center rather than at the lodge?
Yeah, it's going to be warmer in the visitor center. I bumped it up. You know, it gets so dark now. So it's going to be 4:30 to 6 o'clock.
Right.
So this November would be the 21st.
The 21st is a Monday.
That's the 18th, November 18th, 4:30 to 6. Yes.
Our calendar numbers are too small for Michaela to read behind me.
So that's my... And then as soon as the snow falls, we'll start doing snowshoeing programs, and I'll start putting some hikes on the calendar as well. I was at a conference last week in beautiful Itasca, learning about the naturalist or interpretive services program at the DNR. So I'm really excited about that, and maybe I can share some of that information with you later down the road.
That's
sprinkle
super.
It in.
So. Yes, I hope 2 weeks from now, even if it's still fresh in our mind, we'll come right back to it, Michaela. But I got to leave it at that, and thank you so much. Enjoy the November weather that we have while we have it. And even when it cools down by 15 degrees, it'll still be a lot warmer than it's going to be in 2 months. So enjoy
Absolutely.
It.
I saw a lot of bald eagles this morning, humbled me in my drive to work. They're eating a lot of the roadkill with the ravens off the road, but just beautiful. So I'm thinking about that, you know, being observant comment from the kiddos. So just keep your eyes open. Maybe that should be our motto. Keep your eyes open.
And as much as is safe to do, keep looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And down and all around.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much, Michaela. It's a pleasure to visit with you again.
Thanks for having me, Leo. Bye.
Bye now. That's Michaela Rice, the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, joining me every couple of weeks to talk about all things in the natural world and our place in it. This is Leo for KTWH.